So be it. Go please to Matthew, the 6th chapter this morning. Matthew chapter 6. We began a new series last week called Seeking the Kingdom. Thank you, Lord. And we're continuing into that now today. If you weren't here last Sunday, you can easily get that message. You can go online, download it. You can go back in the back at the Word Supply, get you a CD or DVD. It won't cost you anything. And around here we have a saying, no cost, no charge means no excuse for not having it, not knowing it, not getting it. So take advantage of those things and feed your faith, feed your spirit. You know, in the world sometimes it said what you don't know won't hurt you. That's a big lie. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge and understanding of God's will and His Word and His ways. So feed your faith and your spirit. Get real strong. Be the overcomer you're called to be. Right? In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33 is a very familiar verse, and it's our main text, our golden text for the series. And he's telling us not to, verse 31, let's begin there. He said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now that does away with the religious idea that, you know, we may not need it. Well, the Lord knows what we need. We may not need it. Well, no, the Scripture said He knows that you do need it. Right? You have to watch out about religious tradition. It has replaced the Word of God in churches all over this country, all over this world. I mean, good people that are saved and going to heaven, but they're robbed of so many things in their life because they have replaced the Bible. Uh-oh. They replaced the Bible with religious tradition. Thank you, Lord. Keep reading there. It says, don't take thought, anxious, worried thoughts, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's telling us what the unsaved, ungodly are seeking after. They're seeking after making a living. They're seeking after what they need and what they want. You may say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, a lot, if you're a child of God. That's not supposed to be our focus. Well, we need some things. Just got through saying the Lord knows you need some things. Right? Well, I got to go to work. Only if He says so. What do you think? It's just going to fall out of the sky? It has before. And thousands have been fed with a little boy's lunch and, right? And on and on and on. We could have a much more supernatural level of life if we weren't so carnally and naturally minded. How many think believers should not live lives that are undiscernible from unsaved people's lives? Our life should not be exactly like an unbeliever's life. Should it? They get up, go to work, we get up, go to work. They owe for everything, we owe for everything. They got bills up to their eyes, we got bills up to our eyes. The same thing. They're struggling. Their big dream is to get ahead a little bit, get stuff paid off, and be able to retire. Same thing as theirs. Should we be exactly alike?
No.
Us and unbelievers. You see some of the looks I'm getting across the crowd. Is this my idea or is this the Master's? What did He say? What did He say? take no thought. Don't seek after what they're seeking after, but, verse 33, you seek after something else. You seek first what? Housing. Clothing. Well, the kid's got to have shoes. Your family comes first. See, a bunch of people almost nodded with me. If your family's first, the kingdom is not. Both can't be first. No. Your kids can't be first if God's first. Your spouse can't be first if God's first. Seek what first? My business. You got to take care of your business. Well, the Lord knows what things you have need of, but there's a different way of living. Seeking His kingdom. And let me say it like this. It's basically the difference between seeking your kingdom or His. That's the difference. Seeking what you need versus what His kingdom needs. Look at it again, verse 33. But do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All what things? Food, clothing, right, housing. All these, everything that the world is worrying about, working themselves silly, struggling, racing to get, lying and stealing and climbing over each other to get. Is it possible to live a different way?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
Instead of being embroiled in the so-called dog-eat-dog and rat race, and I got to get mine and get out of my way, and they're trying, I'm just trying to get mine. No, we can get His.
Yes.
I said we can get His. And while we're seeking to get His, He gives us ours.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Without us trying to get ours, we're trying to get His. And He gives us ours.
Yeah.
It's a very different way of life. Many church-going people are not living this way. Millions of church-going people, they believe in God. They're good people in many ways, but they're not living like this. But you can.
Amen.
I said you can. How many think it's worth talking about and meditating on?
Yes.
There's a higher way of living. The just shall live how? By faith. Which is a totally different way of living than by sight. We should have different lives, operate differently, function differently than the unsaved world, than the ungodly. In this same sixth chapter, back up with me to the, about the 10th verse or so, that this is where verse 9, the Lord is teaching the disciples how to pray. They had asked Him to teach them. And in verse 9 He said, after this manner, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice what He said right off the bat here in this prayer, verse 10. Your kingdom come. Seek first what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom of God. Now, most Christians that have been around very long have heard this phrase, maybe enough to be familiar with it. But what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? It's easy to become familiar with the phrase, but that doesn't mean you know what it means, and it certainly doesn't mean you're doing it. He's praying here, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And actually that second sentence is an extension and even a light concerning the first. What is the kingdom of God? If you were with us last time, you know we looked at numerous scriptures, and the New Testament is just full of references to the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Jesus talked about it all the time. In fact, some people have said, we talked about this last week, that some folks have said, well, you know, Jesus preached love and acceptance. And I was hearing this on a talk show thing one time, this years ago, and the Lord spoke to my heart. No, I didn't. And it set me on a study. I thought, well, what did he preach? Because that sounds pretty reasonable to a lot of folks, right? Jesus preached love and acceptance. No, he didn't. He preached repentance, which is very different from acceptance. And he preached the kingdom of God. He talked about it all the time. He and his disciples were kingdom-minded. They thought the kingdom of God was going to immediately appear, the scripture said. And you remember two of the disciples sending their mother to him and asking him, can we sit one on each side in your kingdom? See, they're thinking kingdom. Do we think like they do? Most people don't. The gospel is actually called, when people say, we just need to preach the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? It's the gospel of the kingdom. I'm quoting scripture. They preached the good news about the kingdom. Matthew 24 says, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached as a witness to all nations, then the end's going to come. Somebody said out loud,
the good news
about the kingdom. Are you stirred up about the kingdom of God? Are you thinking about the kingdom of God every day and night?
Yes.
Most folks are not. Which is why I'm a preaching and waving my arms. We got to get... How many think we ought to preach the same gospel Jesus talked about and Paul talked about, right?
Absolutely.
Not some altered version of it through the years. And if they were kingdom-minded, we ought to be kingdom-minded. And if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, first of all, you got to know what it is. Right? What is it? And then get to seeking it. In this 10th verse, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So, kingdom is a combination of two words. King and dominion. So, dom is a shortened version of dominion. Well, you could say it like this, the king's dominion. What is the dominion? The dominion is the king's sphere of influence. It's what the king is king over. In fact, Young's literal translation, which is a very accurate translation, he's author of Young's Concordance, you know, usually... Well, like right here, and all through the New Testament, he'll say, your reign come. Instead of saying your kingdom, it'll say your reign. So what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is all that God is reigning over. What is God reigning over? And a lot of Christians would say everything, and that's not true. That's religious tradition. If it is true, why pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. If it's already being done, why pray that it would be? And we spent quite a bit of time looking last week where Jesus refers to the devil as the prince of this world. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls him the God of this world. Jesus said he has a kingdom. Does he?
He does.
Well, if Jesus is certainly right about it, right? He said his kingdom, if his kingdom's divided, how can he stand, continue to stand if he's divided against himself? And the devil, you know, during the temptation with Jesus, he said, showed him all the what? Kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I will give you all these, and the authority and power of them, and the glory of them. Now, a lot of Christians don't even want to believe that, but they'll say, oh, that he didn't have that, he's lying. If he was lying, it wouldn't have been a temptation.
That's right.
And the Bible said it was a temptation. But Jesus rebuked him, right? And would not yield to him. But is it true or not? All you got to do is take a look around and see is there stealing, is there killing, is there destroying, then the devil is ruling and reigning through peoples all over this planet. Now, go with me if you would, now that we're all excited. Go to Luke. You believing with me this morning?
Yes.
There's a lot here, as you can see. We're going to Luke 17. And so we want to just get exactly what we should in the time that we have. I want to ask two questions and begin to answer them this morning. Number one, three questions. What is the kingdom of God? And then, where is the kingdom of God? And coupled with this is when. When is the kingdom of God? What, where, and when? Because if we're going to seek it, do we need to know these things?
Yes.
What the kingdom is, where it is. And we begin to see that when is a factor too. There's been a lot of stuff taught about the kingdom. And not all of it right. And we want to go straight to the Word, don't we?
Yes.
On every one of these. And even if we don't understand it, we believe what the Bible says.
That's right.
And believe for further light and understanding as we go. In Luke 17 and verse 20. Luke 17, 20, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, you know, you could tell these folks that are off spiritually, they're a demanding bunch.
Yes, they are.
He was demanded, they didn't ask him, demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Now, let's just stop right there. Why would they say this to him? What did they say? They said, when is this kingdom coming? Why would they say that? Because he just talks about it. He's talked about it so much, right? The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, until they demanded, you tell us when this kingdom is coming that you're talking about. He said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. They were looking for external signs of the kingdom coming. He says, you're not going to see it like that. Keep going, verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo, here's the kingdom. Lo, there's the kingdom. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Some other translations say among you or in your midst. But within you, in you, we might say. In you. What is a kingdom? It's where the king reigns. Where is the King of Kings reigning right now? He is reigning in every heart that has yielded to Him. Right? And confessed Him as Lord and Savior. He's reigning. Hallelujah. Where's the dominion of God, the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is in here. In you. In me. It's wherever He's reigning. Is that over all the earth right now? No, it is not. Because there's a lot of people He's not reigning over. It's just a fact. I know that goes crosswise with some religious tradition. But that tradition is robbing people of the truth and bringing great confusion. The Lord is allowing human beings during this season to choose whether He reigns over them or not. It's a season where progressive generations of mankind get to choose. Now here's the thing. If He's not reigning over you, guess who is? People like to think, well, nobody reigning over me. I do my own thing. Yeah, you wish. It's one thing to be all in bondage. It's even worse to be in bondage. Don't even realize you are. Think you're your own person, and you're being manipulated like a puppet on a string. If you're not yielding to the God of heaven, then you are governed by the God of this world. Just a fact. And millions are under his influence unbeknownst to them. The devil's favorite ploy is for the world not even believe there is a devil. That works best for him. And he can just influence in, and people are yielding to him right and left, and all kind of evil stuff is happening, and nobody's even trying to resist the devil because they don't even believe there is one. Jesus said there's one. Said he had a kingdom. Right? The devil told him he had the authority of all the kingdoms of the world, and he would give them to him. Don't you think Jesus would have known if this wasn't true? If it wasn't right? So for now, the kingdom of God is not reigning over everybody and everything on the earth. But he's reigning over my heart. How about you?
Yes, sir.
The kingdom of God is in me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, somebody ought to say it out loud. The kingdom of God is in me.
In me.
Does that do something for you?
Yes, sir.
Now here's another thing. This is an eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. Whew, glory to God. So, look with me over to the book of John, the 18th chapter. Let's talk further about this, what the kingdom is, where the kingdom is, when the kingdom is. You believing with me for revelation and utterance and light? You know what I'm talking about. There's been a lot of stuff preached on the kingdom, and not all of it right. And I'm not claiming I know everything about it. I'm believing for light. You're believing with me, right? That's part of your job. You knew that, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You pray for us. You believe with us. And the things that come out here not only enlighten us and set us free, but with technology, somebody could be listening to this message on the other side of the planet 20 years from now if the Lord tarries his coming.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And getting light and getting set free. These things are very significant. We're not just going through the motion of having church here this morning.
Right.
We're about kingdom business.
Yes.
Right? I'm here on kingdom business. Which is another part of it. Did you know you and I are ambassadors?
Amen.
Yes. We represent the kingdom of God in this foreign land. Huh? Yeah, the devil's ruling and reigning through a bunch of stuff down here, but we are here as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And we're recruiting heavily. Because the kingdom of God is an expanding kingdom. And nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. It is expanding, and eventually it is going to cover everything. Everything. And the glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord of what? That's kingdom talk. I said, that's kingdom talk. Lord. In John 18 and verse 33, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, Pilate entered the judgment hall and called Jesus and said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Because that was the big accusation that was against him. Verse 34, Jesus said, "You say this thing of yourself, or did others tell it to you about me?" Well, he's my hero. He's looking Rome in the face. He's looking death in the face. And he is absolutely fearless. Fearless. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory
to Jesus. Pilate said, "Am I a Jew? Don't you know who you're talking to here? Well, a Jew? Your own nation. Your chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done?" Keep going. Jesus said what? What did he say?
My kingdom
is not of this world. This tells us a lot. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from here. His kingdom is not of this world. Where's the kingdom? We know where it is already from these two verses, and we know where it's not. Where is it?
It's in us.
It's in our lives, in our hearts. He's reigning over us. It's not in the world. He's not reigning over the world. That's why when people say so adamantly, God is in control of everything on this planet right now, not true.
Right.
I said, not true. Did you hear that? Ooh. That was an old holy cow. We just poked her real hard. It's just not true. Now, don't take that phrase for it. If you're not sure about that, get these materials. We just spent weeks and weeks on a series called You Choose not too long back. Get that and go through every verse and see if it's true or not. Prove it to yourself. But notice, it shouldn't be confusing to us. In heaven, what did he tell us to pray? Thy will be done. On earth, how? In heaven, how much crime do they have?
None.
How much war do they have?
None.
How much famine?
None.
Huh? Disease?
None.
Stealing, killing, and destroying? How much? How much? How much? Absolutely?
Zero.
You know why? Because God is in complete control. There. And when he's in complete control here, it's going to be just like it is there. Which is not yet. And I'm quoting Scripture. I know you want to see it, so go there right now. Hebrews. Boy, this thing's growing on me. Hebrews, the second chapter. I still hear that old holy cow. You hear her lowing? Some of those things die hard, but they need to die. I said they need to die because they're not true. I said they're not true. And I know people mean well, and they're trying to glorify God, talk about how big God is. But you don't glorify God by contradicting what He said in His Word. In Hebrews, the second chapter, are you there? Hebrews 2 and 5. It says, not to the angels did he put in subjection the world to come. Keep going. Verse 6. But he said, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him? Keep going. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You did set him over the works of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. Now this is talking about Jesus. And it's referring to the prophecy given in Psalm 8. And it said, in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. Now this is where a lot of people, they get this and they stop and they go, see, the Bible says everything is under His subjection and control. Read the next sentence. But now we see what?
Not yet.
Not yet. All things put under Him. Not yet. Why? The enemy is ruling and reigning in this earth. It's a fact. Right now, he is the god of this world. That's why you see all the tragedy and the junk and the destruction. But the kingdom of God exists now. Hallelujah. It's in you. I said it's in you. And it's in me. He's not reigning over everybody on this planet. But He's reigning over a bunch of them. And the number's growing every day. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And all, everything will be under His feet. Revelation speaks of a time where the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Not yet, but it will be. I said it will be. Don't you know you're going to be shouting that you knew it already? You got in a long time ago. You got in while you were here living on the earth. You didn't wait till it was late. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and in closing, I think. And I know that maybe the time seems short, but there's plenty to think on. 1 Corinthians 15. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, exists. But it is not manifested in its fullness in the earth. God is not reigning over all mankind. He's only reigning over those who receive Him and yield to Him. And those who reject Him are allowed to do so. For now. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, so many rich things in here. He said, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming. Then comes the end, when He shall have delivered up what? The kingdom to God, even the Father, when, somebody say when.
When
He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, that is everything that opposes the kingdom of God, is going to be put down permanently. Now, you know that hasn't happened today. Right? How many kingdoms are there that's atheistic? Blasphemers against Jesus. Right? They're not bowing their knee to Him. They're not confessing His Lordship. They are anti-Christ. They're against Him. The psalmist talked about that. Why did the heathen rage? The nations and the heathen, and imagine a vain thing. They set themselves and their kings and the kingdoms against our God, against our Lord, against His Christ. That's going on right now. But there's coming a time called the end. When He, Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. How many believe, sure as you're sitting here and more sure, it's happening.
Yes.
That will happen.
Yes.
And there will be no more kingdom of this and kingdom of that, of rebelling against God. It won't exist anymore. Keep reading verse 25. For he must reign till... Are you seeing words in here that refer to time? When? Until? He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Keep reading. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Do we see that right now? No, we don't. Are people still dying?
Yes.
Everything on the planet still dying. There's coming a time when that will be no more. Death is an enemy, not a friend. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Keep reading. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he's accepted which did put all things under him. That's referring to the Father, the one that put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him. Everybody say when.
When?
When? And so we already see part of this. The last enemy is death. When that's put under, there will be no more dying. Remember, Revelation talks about a time when there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more dying. We've never lived in a place like that, where nothing ever dies. The grass doesn't die. The flowers don't die. You never age. You never have an ache or a pain or a new wrinkle or a lost hair. Ever. This goes on for millennia after millennia after millennia. But when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's the eternal kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom that is existing now, but will continue until every enemy is put underfoot. The Lord showed it to Daniel long time ago, right? In what is the 7th chapter of Daniel, I believe it is. And he showed him how this kingdom would rise, this great kingdom, then this other great kingdom would rise, and four great kingdoms. Then he saw a stone out of the mountain, cut out without hands. And he saw it grow until it filled all the earth. And he said, it's the kingdom that shall never end. It's the everlasting kingdom of God. It already exists in you. And is expanding through the earth. Hallelujah. And it's just going to grow bigger and bigger and greater. And you and I are here for a few heartbeats and a whisper of time. What should we do with this precious, precious opportunity? We should seek His kingdom. We should seek the advancement of His kingdom. How many want Him to reign over everything around you? Do you want Him to reign over your neighbors, over your co-workers, right? Over everything around you? You know He's not reigning over everything and everybody, but that's our mission. I said, we're on a mission to go into all the world and proclaim the good news about the kingdom and tell them, come on, you got to get in, you got to get in, you got to get in. Come on, get in. Let God reign over you. Receive Him as Lord. Let Him be Lord over your life, over your heart. Let Him reign over you. Let His kingdom include you. Can you say amen? Stand on your feet, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hands. Lift up your heart to Him. If you hadn't been letting Him reign over your life, now's the perfect time to make that decision and do that. If He did reign over you for a while, but you rebelled and got out from under His reign and went your own way, and which is actually yielding back to the God of this world, don't do that. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Everybody said out loud, Father God, I believe your kingdom is the everlasting kingdom. And I confess Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, my Lord, my Savior. And I say, reign over me, over my heart, over my life. Your kingdom is in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, come on down. The reason we have